So the Torah he has presented, beginning of Bahar, the din of Shemitah, the focus seems to be the land, and then there's the analogy to 6 days of the week, and the seventh day being Shabbos, here also 6 years, 2 Isurim that are underscored, Zriya and Zemira, sowing and pruning. Oh, there's some more, I'm sorry. Oh, you have it. You have it, sorry. Uvashana Shviyas are reading now Pasuk Dalet. The seventh year, Shabbat, Shabbason, Yel Oret, Shabbos Lashem. Seventh year has a special status. Sadech Olosizva, Vechamech Olosizmor, mentioned earlier. Esviach Kitzir Olosikzor, we're familiar with Svichin, which is the aftergrowth. Ves Inbein Zirech Olosikzor, Shna Shabbason, Yel Oret. It's clear the Torah has drawn an analogy between Shemitah and Shabbos. It's Kemat every Pasuk you see that mention. And then the last pasuk, the last two pasukim, V'hoysa Shabbat ha'oretz lachem la'ochla, l'cho li'abdecha la'amosecha. V'l'schircha v'l'soshavecha agorim imbach. This also is an indication that Shemitah somehow is designed for the wider populace. The Torah mentions the din, which is probably the most famous din in Shemitah, la'ochla, and the Gemara derives from that word, that Shabbat Ha'aretz will be la'achla, la'achla v'la l'schayra, you can't do business, you can't traffic with perishrias, la'achla v'la v'hesed, la'achla v'la v'la'ugla, a whole series of dinim that Chazal have, the Gemara has, the Midrashim have, but what's significant here is that the Torah decides to spell out for whom Shemitah is addressed, l'cha, li'abdecha, la'amasecha, l'schircha, without getting into details of whom these people are, l'soshavcha, literally the entire range of Jewish society. And one additional element which is found in Pasuk Zayin, v'levhemtecha v'lachay asher b'yatzecha tiyakol t'vuasa d'echol. This is also very significant. On other occasions we pointed out that the Torah has addressed Shemitah any number of times. It's found in Mishpatim, it's found in the other, yeah, Rabbi Feinberg. Oh yeah. It's found a number of times, and then the Torah subsequently goes on to describe the din of Sfiyasa Omer. So, what I would like to focus on for a moment is what we saw now with reference to Shemitah. And in order to really fully understand it, we'll read the second set of Sukkim as well. There's a division, as you can see. Pasuk Ches begins the discussion regarding Yovel, and here the Torah tells us the following. 7 cycles of Shemitah, and as a result, the counting, and this, again, the halachic issues involved here, Beis Din has that obligation to count. 49 years. And then the Torah says in Pasuk Tes, V'havarta shofar t'ruah b'chodesh ha'shvi'i b'asor l'chodesh b'yom ha'kippurim t'aviru shofar b'chol ha'atzechem. The obligation to sound a shofar b'chodesh ha'shvi'i in Tishrei and the 10th of the month, namely on Yom Kippur. The Yovel, the Jubilee year, is going to be sanctified. This is written on the, you're not familiar, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. That's where this, essentially, inscription is found. Thou shalt proclaim, however you translate dror. Dror is a fascinating word. I'm very into language. My father, Sean, that's what he taught me, to read Sukkim very carefully. The Gemara has actually the expression, Tzipor Dror Sheino Mekabel Marut. The Gemara speaks about a bird that is just flying about in an uninhibited kind of fashion without accepting any sovereignty, any authority, and a free spirit, as we tend to call it. That comes actually from this term, Dror. But here the word is usually translated liberty. Yovel hi tiye lochem. Yovel is yours. V'shavtem mishalachu zosev, v'shal mishpachta toshuvu. There's a revolution taking place on Yovel. The revolution involves people returning to their homestead. They may have been disconnected, and now they return to their properties. Yovel hi, shnasa chamishim shana tiyalochet. Again, just to point out, this is fairly obvious again, just reading the text. What term is used here? Let's say in contrast to the Shemitah, the term in Shemitah is Shabbos Hashem. There the Torah speaks about Shabbos, and of course, Shabbos belongs to Hashem Yisbarach. And here, there's a very inordinate stress on the term lochem, which I'll discuss in a few moments. Yovel hi shnasa chamishim shana tiyeh lochem. And again, a lot of the Isurim that apply on Shemitah apply on Yovel. We're talking about a double whammy, so to speak. Los Yisroel, v'lo sitzeru es vicheha, v'lo sitzeru es nizireha, mentioned earlier. Pasuk Yudbeis, ki yovel hi kodesh tiyeh lachem. Again, minasodeh tochlu es tevuasa, b'shnasa yovel azos, tashuvu ish achuzasa. So when one contrasts Shemitah and Yovel, so there's a fairly stark contrast just from reading the psukim that we just discussed. I would like to underscore the different nekudos that differentiate Shemitah from Yovel. Nekuda number one, Shemitah clearly relates to Karka. Shemitah, the focus is V'shavisa ha'aretz Shabbos Hashem. Relates to real estate. Yes, there's a concept we know at the end of the year, Machokis. But we paskin the end of the year, Shemitah Sofim. Those are psukim in Parshas Re'eh. There the Torah speaks about any loan. Automatically, Shemitah is going to cancel that loan at the end of the year, unless you write a prosbo, which Shemitah Hashem we will do. That's a sugya in Gittin, because Rebbe, Abir Anossi, comments over there, when the pasuk says over there in Re'eh, Bezed Dvar HaShemitah. So the Gemara said, B'shtei Shemitah Sakosim Medaber. The Torah is speaking about two different types of Shemitah. One is Shemitah's Karka, that's found over here, and the other Shemitah's Ksofim, which refers to loans that are going to be waived, debts that will be cancelled. But the Dogish Chazak of Shemitah is on Karka. That's clear from the language of the text here, Kisavav al-Aretz, Vishavsa al-Aretz, Shabbat Shabbosin Yelo Aretz, the Isurim that apply to the Sodeh, Shna Shabbosin Yelo Aretz, Voisa Shabbat al-Aretz. I think you get the general sense of what the Torah is doing over here. So the focus is clearly, as I said, on karka, on real estate. When one looks at Shemitah and contrasts it with Yovel, wow, the contrast is incredibly stark. What is the focus of the Torah in reference to Yovel? It's clear, not on the karka, but on the human being, on the Jew. First, it tells you, v'safar talecha, the obligation to count. Now this, of course, is similar to the din of Sfiras HaOmer, v'safar talechem v'machas HaShabbos, that applies to each of us, that we count the Sfirah. So here there's an obligation to count. Now it may be an obligation that devolves upon Beis Din, but it's upon human beings. Torah continues. V'avarta shofar tu'ah v'chadosh hashvi. There has to be a shofar that's going to be blown. Next, v'kidashtem. There has to be sanctified. There has to be some kiddush that takes place of Yovel. Next, ukrosim dror. You have to declare this concept of dror. And there's a lot of movement going on. V'shavtem isha l'chuzoso v'yesha l'mishpachto toshuvu. So, the Torah here clearly has contrasted Shemitah with Yovel. Shemitah, the focus is on the karka. Yovel, the focus is on the gavra. Or you want to put it in terminology, in Talmudic terminology, chevtza versus gavra. Shemitah is on the chevtza, and Yovel clearly is on the karka. That's distinction number one. Distinction number two, which is equally significant, namely, Shemitah, what is the overall tone that is clearly pervasive? And the answer is a tone of passivity. Sheva al taseh. The Torah says, B'shnas HaShemitah, we are enjoined from doing all kinds of agrarian, agricultural type of work. That is what this focus of the Torah is. Namely, Sod Chodol Sizra, Kama Chodol Sizmar, Sfiach Kitzir Chodol Siktzar, In Ben Yizirach Chodol Siktzar. That seems to be at the very center, the epicenter of Shemitah. Masha Enken Yovel, there, wow. Frenetic movement is taking place. Unbelievable activity. Frenzied activity, I would even describe it. Here the Torah is describing, literally from every perspective, Shemitah is a year of margoa, a year of menucha. Of course, it's a recognition, as we'll get to later, Lashem Haaretz Loa, Tevel V'Yoshriba. On the contrary, Yovel, here we see societal movement, very significant kind of movement. Rav Kook actually, Zatzal, has a sefer which is such a classic sefer. It has taken me a number of shmitas to go through that sefer, Shabbat Haaretz. But what you can do, I'm not saying you should go through the sefer, of course I am saying you should. It may take you a few shmitas. But the Hakdama, in the preamble to Shabbat Haaretz, an astounding Hakdama. Absolutely astounding. And there he points out that essentially, he discusses, by the way, first the Machlokes Rashi and the Ramban regarding the term Yovel. How do you translate the word? What's the translation of the word Yovel? It's a big Machlokes of Rishonim regarding the term Yovel. Rashi writes that the term Yovel is found earlier in Matan Torah. Namely, the Torah says over there, if you remember, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before Matan Torah, Perek Yutes, the Parshas Yisro, Klal Yisrael has to prepare themselves, there's Hachana for Kabbalah Satorah, and then Kabbalah Satorah takes place, and then when does it end? At what point is it over? Says the Torah, Bimshoch HaYovel, Heima Yalu Bahar. What does that mean? Bimshoch HaYovel. So Rashi translates it very simply, Al Shem HaShofar. Yovel refers to a Shofar, similar to the Shofar that the Torah describes here, that they blew on Yom Kippur. So the term Yovel Rashi translates as referring to a Shofar. That seems to be a rather striking translation. We don't really see in that term the idea of Shofar, but Rashi brings a very, what seems to be quite an authoritative raya from that pasuk in the end of Matan Torah, B'mshoch HaYovel HaMiyalu Bahar. The Ramban disagrees. Ramban says Yovel refers to the drawer. Shebo Yuvol. What does it mean, Yuvol? Like Lehovil, Hovala, when you have someone who transports something for you. So, Shebo, the Ramban says, Yuvol, Kol Ish Al Achuzosu Evel Mishpachto. Each one is being brought back to their homestead, to their original property. That's the term Yovel. Fascinating, Machlokes Rashi and Ramban regarding the definition of this term. So Rav Kook Zatzal explains in the Akdoma that Asebe Shabbat Ha'aretz, that essentially Yovel is a revolution. It describes it as a merit. Merit Chaklai. It's an economic kind of revolution, agrarian revolution. Because Chazal, I'm sure you've encountered all of you, Chazal, when they speak about what happens at Yovel to Avodim, let's use Avodim as the best example, and suddenly all Avodim are released from bondage, from their situation. Avodim Yoshrim, Avroseim, Rosheim, they're wearing crowns, and somehow there's such a sense of a buoyancy that was not, till now, heretofore, did not exist. Now suddenly, Avodim, as I said, are no longer under shackles, as it were, and they become B'nai Chorim. And those people who were unfortunately and tragically disconnected from their homestead now return to their homestead. So this is an unbelievable economic revolution. Now Rav Kook has a whole theory, which is fascinating in and of itself. He calls it a mered bli prahut, without violence. I remember, I think I mentioned this already once, in the days when Biafra, perhaps you remember, when Biafra was given its freedom, it goes back in the late 60s, Baruch Hashem, you're young. Continue, all of you to be young. Anyway, so my Rebbe, Agoyin Rabban Lichtenstein Zatzal, took us on the march on behalf of Biafra. That I'll never forget, because we met two rather astounding personalities. One was Martin Luther King, I never saw him till then, and the other was Abraham Joshua Heschel, also a well-known professor, etc. Matter of fact, we had to agree, since it was in the morning this march, we had to agree to come to the shiur, which was given in the evening, and all of us had a sign. We had a chasmin and a shtar, that we would be at the shiur at nighttime, because he used to give it regularly 2-3 hour shiur, so it went to the wee hours of the morning, and if you didn't come to that shiur, that evening, you were no longer in his shiur, because he would never cancel a shiur under any circumstances. Anyway, so why do I mention that? Because of this idea, Biafra, there was violence writ large. All the countries in Africa, when they received their freedom, there was violence. All bloodshed, anarchy, unbelievable. I mean, we just don't have to look far to see what's going on, unfortunately, in the world at large. But here, Rav Kook says, the nature of this merit is built into the very societal structure of Klal Yisrael. In other words, we want to somehow be able to try to achieve some sort of equilibrium between the different strata, economic strata. I said, Rav Kook, what a unbelievable, besides being a giant, a gom. So he also has a fascinating overview regarding the nature of this merit. This is a merit kalkali, a merit chevrati, a merit that the Torah has built into the very architecture. In effect, it's dynamic. L'tikun hachevra, l'shikum hachevra. This is right through the whole Akdoma. Learn the Akdoma of our Kugin Shabbat Haaretz. I'm astounded by that Akdoma. Astounded. When I was in high school, I used to work in the Brooklyn Public Library. So with that, I mentioned this also a number of times, and they didn't have a lot of work for us to do. Dewey system of classifying books. It was work for 1 or 2 days, and then they told us to remain in the library. What should I do? So I went downstairs. I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I worked there for several years. I went downstairs, discovered a sub-basement. basement. I never saw such a wealthy, rich, I would say, I don't know how to describe it, thousands of svarim and books. That's what I did for those 4 or 5 summers. I read books. Now, I can't say I read the entire sefer. I read Hakdamas. I'm a young man, 13 years old, 14 years old. I remember, that's when I encountered the Torah. To me, was autobiography, Mekor Baruch. It's about 5,000 pages. It took me 4 or 5 summers to go through that. What a sefer. I'm a high school student, a teenager. But I had an interest in books. I'm a bibliophile. My father, Shalom, that's what he somehow infused me with. Among the many items I give him credit for, that's why I called the sefer I wrote, Shail Avi, a present to my father. So I encountered also that sefer, Shavat Haaretz. In that context, that's where I encountered it. And I read the Hakdama. That was my initial introduction to the Hakdama of Rav Kook. I didn't fully understand that my Hebrew was not sufficiently well-grounded in order to be able to appreciate. But now, today, I have a much better appreciation. Okay, so this is item number 2, namely, the atmosphere of Shemitah is passive. What's the atmosphere of Yovel? To quote it in simple Hebrew, the way members of my family, Saba, action. They think that's a Hebrew word. Action. We have to have action. That's basically what Yovel is all about. Enormous amount of action. Number 3, third distinction, which is also remarkably embedded in the Psukim. Shemitah, the Torah calls it Shabbos Hashem. That's not what Yovel is. What term is the Torah used to describe Yovel? Kodesh. The Torah says that Yovel is considered to be Kodesh Tiyalochem. Bikidashtem Eishnasach HaMishim Shonah. Isn't that fascinating? That Yovel has this appellation of Kodesh. It's a very beautiful Meshech Chochma. That's another sefer I discovered then. But I know when I came to realize the greatness of that sefer, when I'm going to have Yehuda Kupman Zadzal, the one who founded the Bichlala. So he gave me 3 volumes of the sefer, but there was a tenai that I have to learn it. So I wasn't sure I should take the sefer. He annotated it beautifully, the Rav Kupman. So there, the Meshech Chochma has a very fundamental yesod distinguishing between Shemitah and Yovel. He compares the distinction between Shemitah and Yovel to the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Unbelievable, remarkable parallel. Why is that so? That the Gemara says, Basra, the Gemara says, Psalchim, a number of places in Shas, the Gemara says that the Kedusha of Shabbos is Kavua V'Kaima. Hashem is the one who established the Kedusha of Shabbos. We are not really involved in establishing the Kedusha of Shabbos. Of course, we're obligated to observe Shabbos. But Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos, he's the one who, in effect, imbued Shabbos with sanctity, and Shabbos would exist without our observing it, Chas V'Shalom. If we weren't to observe it, Shabbos would still be Shabbos. However, Yom Tov is markedly different. Yom Tov, essentially, the Kedusha of Yom Tov is a function and contingent upon Klal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Brachas, Mem Tes, Yisrael, the Kachinul Izmanim. We are the ones who give Kedusha to the Yom Tov. Without our investing it with Kedusha, without our observance of Yom Tov would not have that kind of Kedusha. So, Rabbi Meir Simcha HaKohen Bidvinsk, so he said the following. He compares now Shemitah to Shabbos and Yovel to Yom Tov. It's exactly the same idea. Shemitah is essentially what the Gemara calls Achaita de Malkison. Yom Tov is the one who basically imbued Shemitah with the sanctity. But Yovel is completely dependent upon our behavior. And if you take a look, actually, this is found, this idea is really a very beautiful idea, this parallel that he makes between Shabbos and Shemitah and between Yovel and Yom Tov. It has halachic ramifications as well. Matter of fact, there's a lot of halachic literature that relates actually to this analogy that he draws between the two different items. And Shemitah is Kodesh Be'atzmuso, is not totally on the Dushas Yisrael, and that's why the Pasuk says here Shabbos Hashem. Keseder, Shabbos Hashem. If you remember, even in the Chumash, when the Torah describes Shabbos in Bereshit, there are also Shabbos Lashem as opposed to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is something which is a function of how we go about and observe Yom Tov. And in a similar fashion, that is the analogy between Shabbos and Shemitah, and the other contrast, of course, to Yom Tov and Yovel, because Yovel is Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh, the Torah says, regarding Yom Tov, we just read it in Parshas Emor, Mikra Kodesh Yelochem, it is functioning based on our Kiddush, based on our establishing the Yom Tov, and that, of course, involves, as I said, as well, all these other elements I spoke about.
Does that also relate to Kiddush HaChodesh?
It may very well be.
Maybe there's a parallel
between
the Beis Din has to be Parashat HaChodesh.
Excellent. Excellent, beautiful. I'll just mention in that regard, since I said I want to be on time today. These are the fundamental distinctions between Shemitah and Yovel. Now, Yovel clearly, as I said here in the Psukim, you see a lot of movement. And on the other hand, there's an element of Shemitah which is pretty critical as well. Sometimes a person can think that as a result of all the movement, I'm directing traffic. All of my talents and all my skills that I possess, I have a repertoire of skills and talents, and they come from the floor. And there's no question that happens to a certain extent. Yovel, maybe one might argue that Al Pidrush, I'm now saying homiletically, that Yovel represents actually Tasiya. Yovel represents technological ingenuity. Yovel represents perhaps economic fecundity. No doubt about it. But on the other hand, there's also the element of Shemitah, which has to be ensconced in Yovel. Namely, Yovel refers to Yigia Kapel Yisrael Ashrecha V'Tevloch, and Shemitah is the recognition that the Balabas is Hashem is Baruch. Ki Li Kol Aretz, the Rebbe Shem is the one who directs traffic. So even though one can be very fertile and one can be very successful in all one's endeavors, whatever particular field one is in, at the end of the day, one has to recognize and see the Yad Hashem that's involved. And I actually see, when I look at this country, I see it also from that standpoint as well. Namely, on the one hand, Baruch Hashem, there's incredible ingenuity, incredible technology, innovative, creative, unbelievable what goes on over here in terms of building and some of the other areas and startup companies and what have you. It's not changing. It has to be that element that the Rebbe Shem is the one who's malava us in guarding this matter. Rav Soloveitchik used to always comment on two of the spheros, since we're in Sfiras HaOmri, even though we don't say that Zoharic, Kabbalistic element, we're not part of that. You also, so where all we come from, we have somehow eliminated all that. But there are two spheros. One is Hod and one is Netzach. These two spheros actually go together. One is Hod, is actually that which glistens and gleams, Zorach u'Mabrik, you would say in Hebrew. And unquestionably, when we look at the Bria, at the majesty of the universe, there's no question that we see that shine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into the Bria. So there's no doubt that that is, as I said, something that anyone who looks at the world can see very clearly, and that perhaps would be comparable to Yovel, which has many, many elements of movement and creativity. And Shirash HaEnkin, the other sphere is the sphere of Netzach, where essentially the neshama is that which emerges. That comes to the fore. And obviously every hod requires also a netzach. And so even though we belong to the Olam HaHod, but also we are very clearly into the Olam HaNetzach, and the combination, the hybrid of both, the Chashem, Hagdula, the Agvura, the Atiferes, I'm not discussing those now, VaNetzach VaHod, these two go together. It's a kind of partnership, a kind of merger. So, and Chazal, just to use the language of Chazal, that in order to come to Yovel, one has to first count the years of Shemitah, or the way Chazal the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Menei Shemitim, the Kaddish Yovelos, that you have to first count Shemitim in order to be the Kaddish Yovel. Okay, now I want to just, if you, for a few moments that are left to me, I just want to perhaps comment, being this is my fourth Shemitah. So my overview, or overall commentary on Shemitah and the like. Now, there's one issue that every single Shemitah once again comes to the fore, and you know there's massive, I guess you can call it, difference of opinion. Let's use the specific issue that we're talking about, namely, Heter Mechira, selling Eretz Yisrael in order to avoid the strictures of Shemitah. And every year there's always controversy, including this Shemitah as well. Nothing has really changed. But the mitzvah of Shemitah, and this I heard from our Rabbeim also, really expresses our, in some respects, inability to bridge the gap between reality and the ideal halacha. And we have, on the one hand, the pain of Hashem Yisbarach, on the other hand, the pain of Knesset Yisrael. And I'll describe exactly what I mean in a moment. means obviously Shemitah is a very broad halachic topic that encompasses all types of forbidden labor, as we just saw here in the Psukim, and the obligation to rest, similar to Shabbos, and there are all kinds of Yisurim regarding Schorah, commerce, and the conferral of a Kedusha on Peru Shvius, similar to Truma and Maisesheni, but clearly there are a lot of values that are fairly evident. And we just mentioned a number of them, similar to the weekly Shabbos that we spoke about. So the septennial Shabbos Haaretz infuses us with an awareness that Hashem is the Baalim. Hashem is exclusively the one who has absolute authority, absolute ownership, and to a large extent, the Nitziv writes it in the Tshuva, it absolves the farmer from the pressures of the material life, enabling him to devote more time to spiritual pursuits. That's how the Nitziv writes in the Tshuva's Meshiv Dover, that year the farmer would devote to become an Avreich, become a member of the Kollel and sit and learn Torah. But there's also a democratic aspect that we mentioned a moment ago. Young and old are equated, rich and poor. That's the psukim I just mentioned, that the Chatorah speaks of this pasuk that I just cited. L'chol li'avdecha la'masecha, l'schircha l'seshovcha sha'imach. So, what remains of this spectacular vision? I don't know if you want me to answer the question. I think very little. The transition from an agrarian to an industrial economy, which is essentially the vast majority of society today. And so those who want to, who are concerned about the Kedusha of Shemitah, how do we deal with it? So you can rely on, can I use the term, a legal fiction? Which essentially is what we are talking about. Oilos Naim Shekach Shomos. Namely, the fields of the entire land, from Ben HaKotzer HaKotzer, are sold, leased to a goy. I'm not questioning now the halachic validity or the ability of non-Jewish ownership of the land to eliminate the Shemitah status of its produce. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Yesh kingdom la'akom lafkiyav yatumus samaisis, en kingdom la'akom lafkiyav yatumus samaisis, big machlokes of Rishonim, now we paskin, machlokes in the Gemara. But the phenomenon itself should make us tremble. There's something inherently love to say that, with that entire phenomenon. And then, those who are skeptical about the Heter Mechira, as there are many, can purchase Yevul Chul, grown outside Eretz Yisrael, or in Arab fields. Again, if you're ready to rely on the Psak of the Beis Yosef, who allows it, Machlokes the Beis Yosef, the Mabit, well-known Machlokes. But, again, as I said, there's something that's clearly missing. Now, the Heter Mechira has many, many areas of problematica. I'm not denying Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, my Rebbe, was not in favor of the Heter Mechira. He wasn't too happy about Mechira's Chometz, Kal Vachomer, selling all of Eretz Yisrael, which has so many other issues, namely Lo Sechanim, it's a pasuk in Chumash, Amishan Avodah Zarah, and in general, the entire Heter Mechira, to what extent this can be done. Because we're talking about, I think things have improved in that regard today because it's now being done with the taboo and with shtaros and in a more formal, legal kind of way, and that itself actually improves the Heter Mechira. But sometimes there are circumstances where perhaps, that's what Cook writes in the introduction to Shabbat Haaretz, it talks about employing tricks in order to circumvent certain mitzvahs, kind of aroma, and the question whether it works. And even assuming that it's valid, but another issue is, again, as I said, can a non-Jew, can a goy, the fact that he acquires the land, can he eliminate the obligations connected to Eretz Yisrael, namely that of Shemitah? But it raises another problem as well, and I said a moment ago, this is what my Rebbe used to say, there's tzar on the part of Hashem Yisbarach, and tzar on the part of Klal Yisrael. There's a taste in Ksubas that's always been, I've been thunderstruck by this taste for decades, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. Taisus quotes Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen that there's no mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because there are, I'm translating it. There are many mitzvahs concerning Eretz Yisrael and many punishments that we can't properly observe. And clearly he's also referring to Shemitah. No question about it. What a statement. Now, there's a well-known comment of a number of very famous people who say it's a mistake. Taisus never said that. Okay, I'm not getting into that element of things, but Baruch Hashem, the last several decades, we have earned the schus of reinstating Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael, and I think we're dealing with mitzvahs with considerable success, including Shemitah and Terumah Samaisos, no question about it. But still, Shemitah is a hard nut to crack, if I can use that expression. You can't put a hold on the country's agriculture for an entire year without losing world markets, and which could result in the collapse of the Jewish agriculture here in Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what Rav Kook was concerned about when he stood behind the head of Mechira. It also was essentially substantiated by Rabbi Avadya Zatzal, the famous tshuva. Okay, I'm not getting into all the details of that. I'm just indicating that there is concern for the welfare of Klal Yisrael. There's also concern for the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's the Nisi Natera. And the mitzvah of Shemitah, which is so critical, and I maintain, I've told people, it's kedai to make Aliyah just to be able to observe Shemitah. I mean, I have 1,000 other reasons why you should make Aliyah. I won't get into them. The main reason I've stressed many times, to get a bracha from Hashem Yisbarach, derech HaKohanim, every single day. Of course, Sfaradim could do it in Chutz Laaretz, but that's only one of 1,000 reasons. I think I told the Rabbi Moshe, he wrote 100 reasons. I have 1,000. He said, of course, there are many, many more. Rabbi Moshe Lichtman writes a lot about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, so the fact of the matter is, again, I don't think there exists yet a Shemitah fund that can supply the needs of the entire population. I wish there were. Maybe we'll come into that soon. Who knows? That might happen. And on the other hand, there are halachic obligations, and I'm not here right now this year. I spoke about it already earlier in the year when I discussed the Inyanim of Shemitah, the halachos of Shemitah, etc. So I'm simply indicating that unquestionably, here we have Psukim Chumash that I didn't read, but I'll just finish with this. V'chisomu ma'anoichal v'ashona ashviyas. That's a kasha that the Torah asks. Like V'im Tomar of Rabbi Natan, of Tosis. Ma'asomu ba'anoichal ashviyas. Hein lo nizom v'olechal tzvaseinu. And the Ribbono Shel Olam promises to provide. And there's no question, the second thing in Re'ei, where the Torah says, beware, maybe you might think, kor v'shnas Hashem v'shnas HaShemitah, and you won't lend money because the Shemitah is going to cancel the Chol. That's why we avoid the problem by writing a Puzbol. So we have a lot of challenges. No question about it that Shemitah presents many challenges. On the other hand, Shemitah is also a tremendous source, as I said, to recognize, to acknowledge the fact that we are not by them. We're not the ones who are directing traffic, even though we think we are, but at the end of the day, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam that he's the one that we have to acknowledge. He is, in effect, Baruch Hashem gave us, on the one hand, Yovel, so we have 6 years, and then the seventh year is that recognition of the role of Hashem, and then we have 49 years, and then finally again Yovel, so we have 2 years in succession when we have this recognition of Hashem Yisbarach. So there's no doubt that we are convinced that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself will undoubtedly, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yimaleh Chesroneinu, as the Gemara says in Brachos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever we're missing, undoubtedly the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care of that. Shemitah is such a beautiful opportunity to recognize the Yad Hashem, and therefore we have to see it that way. But I think the intent of the Shir was simply to underscore the contrast between Shemitah and Yovel, or the Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is an absolutely gorgeous contrast, and I think it's so embedded in the Psukim. That's why in general, as I always say, when we learn Chumash, we have to somehow feel the texture, the tone and tenor of the Psukim, examine the language carefully, and you'll discover unbelievable golden nuggets that will emerge from that kind of examination. We should continue to learn Chumash with that kind of passion and zeal and careful, assiduous attention to every single prat to prat. Be'ez Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yor Reinendo, B'tor Rosso, and she continues to go, Le'ilu Le'ilu.
Are there any halachic implications, and if not halachic implications, more philosophical implications of the halachas of yoga, which we can't do today? Now, there's this whole idea of returning back to the homestead. You know, is there any halachic implications?
Today, not.
So how should we view it today? How should society, look at this halacha of Yovel and what should society do today?
We have to look forward to, even Shemitah, which today basically is not Min HaTorah, if he Rav HaPoskim is only the Rabbanan, so we have to aspire to hopefully being able to mekayim Shemitah Daraisa, and that will lead to Be'ez Hashem.
When does it change?
Yovel. Okay, that's one of the big issues that is at stake. I know how you determine that, and even people who are, there's a fellow in the university, he's a well-known demographer, so he's been, on this case, he's an Italian fellow, Italian Jew, comes from a very chashuv Rabbanish family. He's trying to figure out for the last, I'm not exaggerating, since I was in Providence, Rhode Island, which is 45 years ago, and that's where I met him. He was a professor at that time at Brown University, and he came as a visiting professor, so he's been trying to work on this. Rav Yoshevel, Aleh, Dafka Yeretz Yisrael. I think that's the ultimate hope. I think we're moving closer and closer to it. There's no doubt about it. The Shvatim as well. I mean, the number is not required, including that. But I think we're getting there.
The
question is, how do you count? He has a lot of, he's a scientist, he's a demographer. He has scientific approaches how to count, but the problem is there's so much assimilation, so much acculturation, it's hard to know exactly. And there are those who argue this way and that way. There's a spate of articles every single year on this topic. But I think there's no practical nafkamina, that's for sure. But I think that this is the part of, I myself, I'm an Eretz Yisrael 28 years, Ken Yibum. And you're also here a fair amount of time. Okay, wow, same time. In 28 years, what I've seen here is, to my mind, unbelievable. I don't think in such a short span of time, I mean, take a look at the country. My brother, Shlita, I have a brother who was a Rav Beit Cholim in Hill Yafa Chader, he's here 50 years. Two of my brothers are here, Muslim, both of them 50 years. And I unfortunately went back and they stayed. So my brother was astounded that maybe, I don't know, probably 20 years ago already, he said, he calls me up and he tells me, Yesh Mashu Chadash Ba'ofek. He speaks to me in Hebrew. He said, there's something new here. You know, he speaks English fluently. But his family is completely Israeli, he doesn't speak any English. So I said, what's new? What happened? He says, Nichnasti the Mafia. V'yesha Misparim. I said, what's that supposed to mean? You take a number. And Omdim Bator. He says, Eze Davar Nifla. So my brother tells me, I haven't stopped laughing from that comment. So he's in Chadera for 50 years with Baruch Hashem, grandchildren, great grandchildren. And he was a Rabbi Chalim for, I don't know, close to 40 years. And Hillel Yaffe, and now he's a Rosh Kogel in his retirement, so he's able to sit and learn. So he's astounded. So he told me these kinds of changes have occurred in the 50 years he's seen here. He doesn't recognize the country. It is such a modern, advanced, that's what he tells me all the time. So I see that also, no question about it. And Baruch Hashem, I think Jews are moving here. I think the dynamics of Jewish life are all in Eretz Yisrael, all here in the state of Israel. They're not in Chutz Laaretz. With all due respect, wherever you come from, even Johannesburg, and I speak to Rabbi Shaw. You know, he recently hosted my grandson. I had a grandson who went to South Africa. And so I happened to tell him, so he pursued him like the Dickens, Rabbi Shaw. At the end, he had him Motzei Shabbos with Malka. So one of my grandchildren, and he was astounded by him. What we've seen here is literally Nisa. The way the country, the efflorescence of the country, the rebuilding of the country, with all the problematica, with all the politics, with all the entanglements, this is Fiat Yus Daite, and you don't have to accept my word, the most beautiful country in the world. I think in the short period of time that it's here, its development is remarkable. To me, it's all miraculous. I mean, it's also nice that we're able to still, shall we say, talk to each other. It's also nice. But that, the way Rasul Ezra used to say, he said that we can credit our cousins. Gedola Hasaras HaTabas, that the moment that Haman got that signet ring from Ahasuerus and with the permission, that brought us all together. So, whatever unites us, but at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, we are basically, we know exactly, I think the corona also brought us together to a large extent. More so than perhaps we may even think. Someone told me that they were on a plane and during the corona period, and there were all types of little Jews there, Haredi Jews, non-Haredi Jews, Dati Lumi, Haredi Light, irreligious Jews, secular Jews, And it was unbelievable. The plane was sort of stuck because of the corona issue. The camp battery was beyond belief. That's where we're all about at the end of the day. Says the Rabbi Matas Aniyim, I see that in Eretz Yisrael more than anywhere else. I told the whole yeshiva, my yeshiva, the other days when they asked me, when you came to Eretz Yisrael, what was it like? I came 28 years ago. I'll just end with this story because you probably have to go to work. Anyway, so we moved, and maybe only Alan here, Strauss, knows about this. You weren't here yet, actually. So we rented a place on Rechon Rube. Before, that was the first place, the corner. I don't know if you know, he still lives there. After a few months, we moved to the house that we purchased. And so I ordered a moving company. I had a lot of, my wife says, I had a lot of svarim. That's what she says. I said, no, we had a lot of appliances and furniture. Okay, that's machlekes what we had. Fine. So I ordered the moving company, and in my naivete, innocence, thought, no problem, we're going to be early in the morning, it's up at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I went to a Sigid minion, and now I'm waiting. 8, 9, 10. I did not own a telephone. There were no telephones at that point in time. And then I somehow tried to get a hold of them unsuccessfully, and I was in a state of panic. All our furniture is on the block, and my svarim. I said, that's all you're worried about, your Abi Kivega. I have an old edition of Abi Kivega, so I am worried about that. It's worth more than all the appliances and furniture put together. Anyway, Bikitsur, so at 4 o'clock they arrived. I was having apoplexy. I wanted to kill them. I'm not joking. I couldn't believe what was going on here. And so they don't even apologize. Ayino, Mashracher. They were involved in something else. Some other moving job that apparently was for the previous day. Okay, so they came at 4 o'clock. Okay, but you think that was enough of a problem. Why did they come? In a horse and buggy. What does it mean, a horse and buggy? I expected a massive moving truck. They come in a tender. They brought two tenders. Tenders! How in heaven's name are they going to get all this stuff in the two tenders and move it? And move it in a decent hour? So they start working, Baruch Hashem, and they work for about 3-4 hours at about 7:30. They said, Anachnu ayifim. Tayaftu. Meshek alayam abadnu. Yifshar namshir kacha. Macha anachnu nachzor. I said, are you crazy? My kivega is lying outside and all my furniture and appliances. And my wife almost had apoplexy 6 times over. So she tells me, go Yerushalayim. I didn't have a car. Dr. Bless. How in heaven is I going to get to Yerushalayim? I don't take taxis. I have this Meshigas and my mother. Okay, I get on the bus, go to Yerushalayim, get there at 9 o'clock. Who's open? Which moving company is open at 9 o'clock at night time? The whole thing was just absolutely kachalon ga'uf at best. I come back 10:30 and I'm frustrated and pretty tired and absolutely ready to, I don't know what to do, to pulverize anyone in my path. And I see the following sight. These are your people, Alan. Yeah. There are 50, 60 cars, tenders, little trucks, all these funny looking vehicles that I had never seen in my entire life, and gathered and seen the issue. They decided to move us that night. Kalashkuna. They didn't know me. Okay, I was a row, big deal. For how long? A few months? They barely knew me. That night, they moved us the entire night. People, what was going on there was just out of control. I was just crying the whole night. I couldn't believe what was going on. Not only that, they wouldn't let me do anything. Kvod Harav, Kvod Harav, Kvod HaTorah, all kinds of stuff like that. All these Sfardim, all the Ashkenazim, unbelievable. So they also had to move a massive shed, which had to be picked up and put on top of where we used to live, which I had to go up all the steps. They had to pick it up. That took about 15 people just to pick it up, and they had to maneuver it in water. At 5 o'clock, we got in Masikin. Then I found a place I could order a massive sumptuous breakfast, which I did. It probably cost me $500. I didn't care. Unbelievable. So I'm still connected to these people, about 4 or 5 of them. You know some of them, Alan. Some of them still live there. Many of them have left, actually, moved elsewhere. This is Eretz Yisrael. That's what I saw. And that's how I was kind of Eretz Yisrael. With that, I still, Ad Hayom Hazeh, we're still in tears, my wife and I, over what happened.
We had a New York Israeli moving company move us from New York to Israel. They were very good. They were very good. Israelis, they were excellent.
I should have consulted you. I didn't consult you.
They were New York.
Anyway. Okay. Shikov.
Thank you.
I was friendly with a
then an older couple member in Germany, you know,